All right, I think we'll go to the book of Proverbs this morning. We've been talking about the walk of wisdom, the wisdom's walk, and what a need we have in our culture as we go into a political chaos, a chaos of a year. God's people hopefully will display the walk of wisdom. There's nothing like discernment and knowing and gaining God's mind and God's wisdom when it comes to how we live. And that's what the walk is. The Bible uses the word walk to describe the ongoing nature of the Christian life. And it speaks of movement, it speaks of direction, and hopefully as God's people, we will show ourselves to be God's children. So I'm going to take you to the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and talk about talk. Let's get a reading together of chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 is our text. We're going to talk about Proverbs 15. Then we're going to talk just a little bit about what it means to give a soft answer, and then deal with what I consider to be the heart of the matter. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool pours out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning as your people, a thankful people, a rejoicing people, as we think about the walk that we all have, a relationship that we have with you. We trust that this morning you would just guide our understanding of what it means to control what you say is our tongue, our speech, what we say. Lord, how hard it is. Given the nature of our flesh and the world in which we live, the one area that seems at times to be the most out of control is our tongue. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us that ability, we pray, to rise above our circumstances and our own nature, and to use what for many is a disparaging tool, and use it for your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Words, it has been said, are singularity, the most powerful force available to humanity. Do you agree? We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement, or some destructively using words that lead to despair. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, or at times hinder and to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and even to humble. Who hasn't been on the receiving end of a critical, biting, sarcastic word? However, be it from others to constructively criticize, comments meant to hurt, an unguarded jab, a lingering cut. What's said in a moment can often lead and last for years. One author said, words are free. It's how you use them that may cut you and cost you. A soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15 says, how hard it is to establish soft answers from any given mouth. Proverbs 15 is a chapter that speaks of the tongue. In fact, it's mentioned in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, verse 4, verse 7, verse 14, verse 23, verse 26, and verse 28. I can't help but wonder why this chapter is even in the Bible, knowing that it was probably written by Solomon, a man of many words, words that speak of wisdom, the wise walk. People would flood to Jerusalem to hear his words. But the very same words that have come out of Solomon's mouth could equally be said of words that are destructive. I wonder how he knew that. Verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, how true that is. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool spouts folly. Verse 4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Oh, how we can see that in children, criticized at a young age for something that they tried or attempted. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. Verse 14, a discerning heart seeks knowledge, but here it is, the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. Verse 23, a man takes joy in a fitting reply, and how good it is a timely word. Oh, a timely word, just at the right time. Verse 26, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but here it is, the words of the pure are pleasant to him. Verse 28, the heart of a righteous ponders, here it is, how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil. What a contrast. There are good words, there are not so good words. One builds up, the other tears down. 9 out of the 33 verses in this chapter speak of God. I can't help but wonder what God thinks of the words that come out of our mouth or the words that we receive from others. Does God care about our words? Yes or no? His words, cherished words, are the theme of the entire book of Psalm or the chapters of Psalm 119. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's words. So have I hidden God's word in my heart. God's words. Speech has the potential to quiet a riot or to fan the embers of anger. Proverbs 12:18, chapter 15, verse 18. A gentle word is the way to respond to any threatening situation. To turn it around, to go from a caustic, biting, difficult confrontation to a soft and tender and delicate word. What is a soft answer? Verse 1. Proverbs 15:1 says, in a proverb, it's a wise saying, a soft answer turns away wrath. It's a reflection grounded in personal experience. It's an observation. However, it's a reflection on life and how it was intended to make us think about what we want to accomplish when we open our mouth. The phrase of Jesus, do unto others as they you would have them do unto you, applies more to the words that come out of our mouth than perhaps anything else. When people come at us with anger, we are often tempted to be harsh in response, more formulating or attempting to formulate a response than thinking about what we should be saying. Our blood pressure rises, we get our dander up, and too often the soft answer exits the situation. One without sharp edges or points. That kind of answer can actually turn an entire situation around. Soft answers are what we always would want. It's like oil on a bruised skin to soften and to heal it. There's loads of examples in the scriptures where this actually happens. Gideon, one of the judges in the Old Testament, is a classic example. He's in a situation where he's confronted by some Ephraimites about something. They got up all in his face, so to speak. They were unhappy. They perceived the situation. And before they realized that they were confronting him, and tensions rose and words were said, and it says that his answer to their situation in Judges 8, verses 1 to 3, turned the situation completely around. King David, when he was running from Saul, finds himself in a conflict, a confrontation, and his submissive and respectful address to the situation led Abigail to speech that would be considered a soft answer. Nabal, her husband, judged David in such a way that a fight could have easily ensued. Yet her wisdom, 1 Samuel 25, verse 25 to 32, Judges 8, classic examples. What's the harsh answer? That's when passions and pride strike together like two flints, indulging in sarcasm and loss of discernment within a situation can cause an explosion, a flashpoint, if you will. We see that in the scriptures too. Jephthah, as he gives what is called and historically his harsh vow, he walks out of his house and condemns one of his children. Rehoboam, son of David, ignored the counsel of the old men, the wise men, spoke harshly. He says, my father whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. Harsh words, painful speech. Threw gas on the fire. The sons of Zariah, David's famous nephews, known for their military exploits and success, had great passion in 2 Samuel 3:39, but they could never use soft words. They didn't have soft hearts. Jesus even rebuked the sons of thunder, James and John, for their ungodly spirit towards some ignorant and disrespectful Samaritans in Luke 9:51 to 56. So if there's a lesson, it's that our words should be careful. Once they are said, as one quote says, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. What's the heart of the matter? Truth be told, if we respond with anger to any situation, the problem doesn't lie in our mouths or even our tone or even our voices. The problem is with our hearts. Matthew 12:34 says, the mouth speaks out of the abundance of that which fills it. True? If our hearts are not filled with God's grace, we will automatically respond in some other way. It may be anger. It might be a passive, aggressive. If we want to turn away from wrath, we're going to need a gentle answer. We need to keep our hearts focused on God and not get entangled with the problems. Harsh words. Harsh responses, however they tend to come out, can only stir up more anger. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Before we know it, we're in a place we never wanted to be. There are times we need to push in the clutch rather than strip the gears. Well, we need to back up just a moment, realize what's happening, diffuse the situation before it gets worse. It never gets better. Many conflicts arise not because the issues separating the parties are so great, but because the temperaments that people bring to a conversation, which leads to a confrontation. Oh, to God, that we would be ones of God's people who know and experience and practice the soft answer. I've had soft answers in my life. People that God have used in my life to show me how not to explode, but to give a soft answer. Provocative and offensive words are harsh words. They come from pride and too often cause fights to continue and even to escalate. Them are fighting words. If you know anybody to use fighting words, you know how destructive they can be. How people can be biting. How comments said, however be it unguarded, can stay with you for years and years and years. Have you lived around someone like that? The damage that they do can often extend not only to you, but to you and your children and possibly your grandchildren. Can a person fight a pillow? It's impossible. The pillow will take any blows given to it without hitting or striking back. There is no fight. That doesn't mean you're a doormat. That doesn't mean you shouldn't defend yourself or you shouldn't have the ability to stand up to bullies. But too often, the kind of things that damage us are the words that no one else ever hears. Words behind closed doors. Words within an office. Words that are said under others' people's breath. A pillow is not hurt by words. Anger quickly gives up and the fight is over. Can you be a pillow to others? Can you diffuse a situation with a soft answer? Proverbs 15:1 is the example of truth that is mentioned in James 3:5. The tongue, it says, is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How true. The problem is that the great things can either be good and be used for good, or it could be used for evil. The power of the tongue is evident. The key is, however, that we wield that sword that comes out of our mouth ever so carefully. How do we get control of our tongues? James, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 2, speaks of what is and what ought to be. Let your speech, Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. One of the criticisms my wife has of me is she makes a wonderful meal. She sets it down, and before I even taste it, I'm grabbing the salt. I know nobody else here does that. That's what our speech should be, seasoned with salt. Why? What is mentioned in James 3:2? first says that we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, I would add woman, able also to bridle his whole body. He's basically saying that everybody has a problem. Nobody is perfect. And in this area, I think it's one of the last vestiges of our old Adamic nature. We stumble, he says, in many ways, but especially when it comes to what we say. I have unguarded statements. You have unguarded statements. We are equally capable, he goes on to say, like a spring, he talks about. He says, if we put bits in the mouth of horses and they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Right? That's what he's saying. And then a second illustration, he says, look at the ships. This is all James 3. They are so large and driven around by such strong winds. They are guided by a small rudder, right? And he says, that's what a tongue is. Great ships, big horse, little tongue. I think this speaks to the reality that you and I all struggle in this way at times. Not all the time, but enough times for us to be cautious and also warned. I'd like to encourage each one here. That's what is. But then what is he saying what ought to be? He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. That's what the Bible says. I can hear a match striking right now in a forest that hasn't seen rain for some time. And oh, it's just a little flame. It says it can set an entire forest on fire. My son lives in San Francisco. And last year, they had forest fires driven by Santa Ana winds that fly through, that whisked through the valleys in such a way that entire neighborhoods are consumed. He lives such a long way away, and the smog and the smoke was so bad that it affected everybody. Same thing with fires and smoke. What ought to be? When he speaks of the fire in a forest, every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But here it is. No human can tame the tongue. I don't know if it's a winnable war, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't fight it. What's your family of origin? How did they speak within the home? Chances are you were affected. Make no mistake about it. Words that build up or words that tear down. Are we transmitting that kind of environment to those that come after us? I don't think we're destined to repeat the sins of our parents that sometimes the Bible says last to 3 and 4 generations. Could it be our speech? James goes on to say, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. It's bigger than us. When I think of a soft answer, I think of Mr. Rogers. You know who he was? Have you seen the movie Mr. Rogers? Let me tell you, it is an outstanding flick. One of the things that stuck out to me in the version with Tom Hanks is that Mr. Rogers would meet people. In fact, he had an eye for people who were broken, who were damaged. And with soft words, with a kind word, he changed their life. Thank you for sharing that, he'd say. The quotes, if you go online and Google Mr. Rogers' quotes, you'll find that what he spoke to children was equally true of adults. He was the kindest, gentlest person, misunderstood by some idiots probably in Hollywood and around. But he was a good man. Mild words, gentle expressions, delivered with kindness and tenderness, humility and submission, these will work upon a man's passions, weaken his resentments, break and scatter the storm of wrath that often arises within people's hearts, just breaking forth such a way, people's lives are changed. God loves the soft answer. It's a prayer of mine that I would have it. Mr. Rogers said, there are times when explanations, no matter how reasonable, just can't and don't seem to help. He said elsewhere, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. Did that speak to your heart? If you've had harsh words said to you in your past, God can heal that. God can take the words that have spoken to you, that have cut deep, and restore your heart. Mr. Rogers went on to say, imagine what our real neighborhoods would be like if each of us offered, as a matter of course, just one kind word to another person. Doesn't cost you a single thing. There's a man by the name of Henderson that started a website that's called Ordinary Attempts. It was written to Christians in an attempt to give what he called free attention giveaways. A kind word was one of them. Imagine yourself at a grocery store and someone's having a hard day. You can tell a hard day, can't you? You offer a kind word. Can I help you with that? How are you doing today? Are you having trouble with the bags? Can I help you with your groceries? It's amazing what a kind word would do for you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it says, God loves peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus taught those who had offended others could be restored into a wonderful relationship just through words. Go to them. Is it always possible? No. Will some people not receive it? Probably. Jesus applied the proverb by teaching you and I how to do it. When Jesus was accused and was eventually arrested, crucified, he didn't have a harsh word for anybody. Study as you go into Easter this year, the seven words of Jesus from the cross. No scorn, no bitterness, no anger. In fact, he says, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they didn't know what they were doing. Present tense. They didn't then, and they don't now. There are some people that just do not know what they're doing. When they say things, when there's a spirit present that doesn't reflect the Lord Jesus, or anything related to God or his word, answer. But let that answer be soft. God's Spirit will be with you, Christian. Live that peaceable life. As much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men, including our words. May the Holy Spirit govern our words. Plans of the heart belong to a man, Proverbs 16, verse 1 says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We put bits in the mouth of horses. We put rudders on the great ships of the sea. Oh God, govern my tongue. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning as your very humble people, knowing that what is and yet what ought to be. What is sometimes our tongues are out of control. Lord, I pray with all the strength that your Holy Spirit can give us, Lord, that you would temper, that you would lasso, that you would control our tongue. You said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and if it's reflecting just the hardness and the bitterness, the anger and the resentment that we've carried, maybe our whole life, Lord, oh God, I pray you'd forgive us. Take that salt water that's coming out of my mouth and make it fresh. Oh God, only you can do that. Thank you for making me aware of it, Lord, and oh God, I pray you would help me every day to pause, take a moment before what could come out of my mouth would come out of my mouth. For many here, Lord, their speech is largely under control. In fact, they have the ability to build up. Your word talks about edifying one another through speech. Lord, our words are with grace, seasoned with salt. Oh, I pray we would hear them. I pray that you would build us up in the most holy faith. That means to edify one another in words. And for those that do that, I pray you'd bless them and encourage them, that multiply them, that those words would sink deep into our hearts and cause us to rejoice. Lord, it could lead us to places we never thought we would be, encouraging one another as we see, you say, the day coming. That's the end of history as we know it. Lord, thank you. That's all we can say. We come against the powers of darkness, Lord, that would cause our words to be short and biting and quick when they ought to be quiet and reflective, resonating with the Holy Spirit to build up your holy church. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for not leaving us alone or leaving us to ourselves, but giving us your word. May the soft answer that we so desperately seek be from our mouths, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.